At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Pull up a chair, grab a pint or two. We're talking real estate, it's Rebrew. From Tampa's breweries to deals on the rise, we'll help you grow and maximize. It's Rebrew time, let's raise a glass to Hobbs, Holmes, and making moves that last. Hear what's new. Welcome to the show. It's Rebrew. Whoa. It's Rebrew time. Let's raise a glass to Hobbs, Holmes, and making moves that last. So sip it slow and hear what's new. Welcome to the show. It's Rebrew.
Hi, this is KJ Workman with Milestone Title, and you are here with Rebrew today. Today, Melvin and I have two special guests on with today, and we're going to let them kind of introduce themselves and who they are, but I'm going to let Melvin chime in for one hot second. You get 1 second to talk, Melvin.
I get 1 second. It's going to be a good podcast. So we're not in a brewery, as you can see, so we're still having some scheduling issues getting into the brewery. So just before we even get into the podcast, what I'll let you guys know is what we're working on is coming up with a stationary studio. So location to be determined, but we're looking to do something stationary where we don't have to worry about the scheduling issues and concerns. Somewhere we can have all of our stuff, all of our brews and pictures and all the things you can imagine. We want a whole vibe. And then what we're going to try to do from that is when we do get accepted into a brewery to go do an episode, those will be more of like a bonus episode. So we can go in and actually have those moments. The goal for this year, I think for a lot of us in this room, is consistency. Consistency is key. So we're making the moves that we need to make sure that our podcast is consistent. So that was way longer than a second.
I let you have it. But today we have, there's a lot of C sounds with hard C's here going. So we have Calvin and Carl with Comfortable Closings, and they are with us today. They're going to be talking a little bit about what they do in our real estate industry and then kind of their mindset and their goals, the way that they're going to be presenting those. And they align really well with how real estate agents and other people inside of our industry should be taking on their own businesses, because as a realtor, you basically do, you run your own business, whether you're with a brokerage X, Y, or Z, it's your business. So Calvin's going to kind of introduce himself, introduce Carl, and talk about the backstory of where Comfortable Closings came from. And then we'll get into kind of the meat and the nuts and bolts of how you run your business and how that correlates to the industry overall.
Yep. So my name is Calvin. I'm the owner of Comfortable Closings. First of all, I want to appreciate you all for having me on the podcast and having us on the podcast to share our experience and any gems that we have to give away. My name is Calvin. I'm the owner of Comfortable Closings. What we are is a nationwide mobile notary service. So we work with title companies like Milestone to help them schedule and locate notaries in all 50 states. And that is for, you know, buyer side transactions, seller transactions, or it could be a refinance. You know, we live in a day and age where there's so many reasons why a customer can't make it to the title company to close. You know, everything's about convenience nowadays. So that's kind of where we fit in, so that the customer doesn't have to come to the office if they can't make it, if that's work, their kids, sick, whatever it may be. But the story on how the company started. So for me, growing up, I was all football. I was born in Palm Beach, Florida.
Wait, let's talk about, first of all, why this is important, because he's 6'5". You can't see this because he's sitting down. He's the tallest person in every room we ever go into. And so you knew right away when you met him that he was in some kind of ball. So you were in football. Go ahead.
Yeah. So born in Palm Beach. And from the very beginning, it was all football for me. Picked up football at 8 years old, fell in love with it. Wanted to go to the NFL, and from 8 to 22, that was my dream. Football ended up leading me to Florida A&M University, where I tell people I majored in football because I was just so focused. Like, that's all I wanted to do. So, I went there, played ball. I went from, when I got to Florida A&M, I was actually 170 pounds. Today I'm 240.
I was
pounds.
Like, I can't even imagine.
Exactly. I was 170 pounds. So I go from 170 pounds my freshman year to 240, 250 pounds by my senior season. And I was ready to go to the NFL. We had the first game of the season. The LA Rams were there to see me play. And we come out the gate, killing the team or whatever. And then I end up tearing my Achilles in the fourth quarter of the game. Yeah, I end up ripping my Achilles in half. So that was it with that dream. But I still end up graduating. So I end up graduating and I'm kind of in this dark place, this kind of different place, that we talked about, KJ, earlier when you graduate college, trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. I just spent 14 years having this dream and it ends. So I started wholesaling real estate through a podcast that I heard about. I heard about wholesaling through a podcast. So I start wholesaling real estate, and whenever I go out and look for property, I put on a podcast. And this podcast comes on talking about the mobile closing industry and how you can be a notary, you go out and do closings. But the thing that really intrigued me was that you can actually scale the business from being an individual notary to contract and work out to other notaries. So I'm like, okay, I like that. So end up starting to taking the course, and then I was still in Tallahassee when I bought the course. I had graduated and I was still up there. And then I moved to Tampa, and that's when I started the company and actually started doing closings. Out the gate, I did like two closings my first month, then I did 20, then 40, then 80, then 100, then I literally built it to where I was doing 100 closings a month myself.
Wow.
And then I had all this overflow business, and I'm like, okay, well now I'm gonna start contracting work out to other notaries. So that was the first year, and now we do over 1,000 closings a month. We're set to do 1,500 this month.
Yes,
Carl, right here, he's going to give an introduction on who he is, but he's our lead scheduler.
Oh, we love Carl.
Yeah, and he actually manages one of our biggest clients who gives us about 400 orders a month, and he takes care of that. I don't have to do anything. So, Carl, can you tell them how you help out here?
Yeah. Well, first off, my name is Carl. I'm the lead scheduler, like you said, for Comfortable Closings. But I would like to consider myself like the Swiss Army knife, right? Like, I do some of everything.
Swiss Army Carl.
Swiss Army.
Oh, my God.
That is a good description.
Yeah, but like you said, managing these notaries all over the country, all over America, all day long, it takes a toll on you. It's a whole lot that you have to do. So it's a lot more than just literally scheduling them. You have to manage them. You have to over communicate, like we said, because we want to make sure that they're setting the right expectations and representing the title company the appropriate way, representing us the appropriate way. So we try to tell them as much as we can.
Oh, that's super important. Yeah. We work with a lot of other mobile notaries, and like it's hard when you work with someone who's representing you at a closing and they don't have the same, lining up their goals and their visions and the way they communicate. We were talking about concierge type service. Right. That is important. So thank God you guys have that on lock.
Yeah. And what is weird is that you mentioned concierge, just a good little segue. That's actually how I met Calvin. I lost a previous job, as it happens all. And I had ended up working as a concierge for an apartment complex downtown. And as you said earlier, Calvin walks by 6'5". I'm like 6'2", so.
Yes, y'all are both tall.
I still remember, because he was doing a concierge, so I was coming out to walk my dog.
Yeah.
And I look over, I'm like, oh, who is this dude? And I remember him looking at me like, hey, who the hell is this dude?
Exactly. I figured he played ball or something, so I sparked up a conversation with him and, found out a little bit about him. So when he told me about his company, because he could see that I was clearly not happy, or I had more to offer, I'll say that. So when he told me about his company, I can be honest with y'all, I had no idea anything about mobile closings, or I knew about notaries, but...
Right.
What do they do?
Not to an extent, right?
Not any extent at all. And a funny story, I actually wrecked the interview.
With him?
Yes.
Oh, no. How?
Just being nervous, I didn't really know how I could correlate my skill set with what
I've never seen you nervous a day in my life.
Believe it. It was a pretty awkward experience.
But what happened was I knew him for months of concierge, so that saved him. Because if it was just off the interview, he wouldn't be sitting here right now.
I want to tell you, I was late. I was.
Yeah, it was. And I could tell he was like at another job. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah. But you said he's like,
he's my dude. Like 100% trust in handling the company and handling what we need done and making sure you guys are good. Mm-hmm. If I can't be there, then he's going to be there and, you know, make sure everything goes well. And what you were saying about managing, you know, I want to hit on that as well for title companies and for agents is, you know, we really like, we have competitors, and one of the things that is different about us from our competitors is that we're not just there just to locate the notary. Because essentially that is all we're there to do is locate a notary to do a closing.
Yeah.
And but we actually manage the actual process. So once the documents come over, it's loan documents, hundreds of pages, making sure the notary has the proper instructions, because any missed signature, any missed initial can delay the transaction. And who looks bad? You guys will look bad because of that. You know, and making sure the notary drops them off, gets the scan backs in time, just manage the entire thing because there's so many moving parts there.
Yeah, end to end.
There are. And with title, because if you're listening for the first time, Melvin and I are obviously the growth development people for a title company. We go out, we don't actually do the closings or signings or processing, but we go out and we mingle with the agents and get them to send the business to us based off of what we provide, right? Because it's the same kind of thing. Like, we don't provide the actual title insurance or title processing, but we provide that next level. So you guys are doing that next level inside of, you're providing the notaries, but you're making sure that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
They're offering that, like I think we talked about at lunch, like the flight attendant level, like anticipating needs before they're a need.
Oh, absolutely.
And making sure.
Proactive over reactive. That's essentially what I like to call it. You say anticipating needs. And I'll tell them all the time, hey guys, you got to be proactive instead of being reactive. See the problem. See the fire before it actually starts so we can go ahead and, you know, put it out, put the fire out before it even starts.
Right.
And it's so funny, we were talking about this over lunch earlier. The flight attendants, it's like, even when the plane flips upside down, like, you still have a job to do. Everything's burning.
And that's where your credibility is out the window. The plane is already flipped. We should have done this before it flipped. I guess that's why you told me to have a seatbelt on. Thank you for that.
Right.
I'm the guy who doesn't listen. And then the plane flips, and I'm like, oh, shit, I should have my seatbelt on.
That's actually a really good analogy, because a transaction can flip over at any moment. And you've had it. I think we had one like a couple weeks ago where it was no fault of yours. It was, I think, the seller's fault or something, where it was like after hours.
Oh, it was mine. That was my deal.
It was one of your deals.
Well, yeah, we had a situation where we had one of those really tough clients. Mm-hmm. That throughout the whole transaction for my agent, this client was very difficult with a lot of things, right? So it came down to close, and it was also a lender situation where the lender waited until 4 p.m. on Friday to give us the docs to go sign on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, so like, we got everything and we did our due diligence, got everything done in time, got it all out. They went to go sign on a Saturday, and that was literally the last day of the month. So put that into perspective, last day of the month.
Okay.
Went to go sign. Get there, notary stayed for 2 hours because the client wanted to go through every single page line by line. Notary said, listen, I'm so sorry, I have other appointments at the end of the month. I'm very busy today. I have to go. And the notary allegedly made the assumption that we'll just come back tomorrow, not realizing, okay, tomorrow is the first of the month. Everything is null and void. All that stuff has to be rewritten, redone now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the client's freaking out, my agent's freaking out, like, they're calling me on a weekend, and you know, we work on weekends, but not necessarily in the office. No one's like at their desk working on the weekends, our closing team.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a whole debacle that could have been solved by just due diligence at the beginning. Like, all right, cool, it's end of the month. We got to make sure everything's lined up. And if it's not, hey man, we cannot close this weekend. You got to give them like the hard no, like, hey, just based on this, we got to do this on Monday. We have to push this out, whatever.
Right.
But none of that happened. Couldn't get a hold of the notary afterwards. We didn't know like who it was, where they went. We couldn't get a. It was a whole thing, and then we ended up having to send one of our closers out to sign those docs.
Was that who closes your deals?
That was through that particular.
Like, who's your? Because I know you guys use. Like,
I can't remember who that was.
I don't remember who that was.
No, who's your closer though? Like, who closes?
Oh, Maciel and Jen were on that one.
From your office, right?
From my office.
They don't use those.
Yeah.
Denisa and Dylan used us.
Dylan.
So that notary, that wasn't our notary. If that was our
I figured as much.
That wouldn't have happened.
That's what I figured.
That would have, we would have been in the office to get that. If it did happen, someone would have been, Carl works on Saturdays.
100%. Yeah, yeah,
and he would have answered the phone and made sure the notary.
See, that's good for me to know now, too. Because
so they don't use us.
So Denise or whoever
that would never happen.
Well, and I think Tony even said that. I think he called you to save that deal.
Probably.
On that Monday, because we didn't want to use that other notary because of the what happened on the weekend. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
That's another thing with like some of our competitors, they don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. Saturday and Sundays, we work.
Oh, we're in there.
Yeah, he's there Saturday, Sunday, I'm in there. I would answer the phone.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
And that's what we've been building. It's like that's something I think is so important in our industry is building those relationships. So when the shit does hit the fan, you know who to call. Like,
there should be a face at every company.
100%.
Name another notary company.
I couldn't tell you. Can't.
No faces. Love it. That's what I say. Like if there's a problem, you can get KJ can call. She has my number.
That's a great thing to think about. I cannot put a face.
We have competitors that just don't have a face.
I will say, when you two walk into a room, I mean, everybody's looking, who just walked into the room? I mean, you guys have a presence.
Good outfits, too.
Y'all have amazing outfits, but you also have a very confident, like, aura about it. So when you walk into a room, like, you're also very tall. So it's like, you know, we can see you. We can see the confidence, and you guys are both so friendly. You're the easiest people in the world to talk to. You're so comfortable.
But today we're going to get uncomfortable. It's coming. Don't worry.
It's coming. I know.
To reel you in.
It's a switch, a bait and switch. So talk to us about like your day-to-day and like where you get your, you can do this in any order. You don't have to answer it the same way, but like where you get your business from, how you're obtaining new business, how you're networking, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis to stay coherent as a company, but also be present in the community. Mm. I feel like I said that really well.
I'm
proud of myself.
That was great.
Thanks.
So pull your mic in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so a day-to-day for us is, you know, essentially just managing the closings that we have. So I think today we have about, we probably got 50 or 60 closings going right now. So, so we managing those is the first thing we're going to do. Make sure everything's on track. Make sure everything's good. As far as, you know, events and everything, we'll schedule that, you know, at the beginning of the week. So, like, what events we want to hit. We're part of Real Producers and a couple other things. You know, so we already have those planned out. And, you know, he'll either go out to events or I'll go out to events, but we'll kind of know that beforehand. And then the deals, like all of our closings are managed. So we have schedulers and closing processors. So we have, was there nine. We have nine people at the company who manages all the deals. So like the closings, answers the phone, make sure everyone has their documents, make sure everything's good. And then from there, we're just marketing all day.
Yeah.
So how are you marketing? Like
our business comes from title companies. So I'd say about 80% of our business comes from title companies. And then we have a big client who he handles. They do financial services. That's like another 20%. And then we do get some business from agents as well. But mainly a lot of our marketing is cold calls. Cold calls. We do tons of cold calls every single day. You know, I'll drop into offices, you know, give, just introduce myself. I'm really just shaking hands, just trying to get myself out there, trying to get the company out there, trying to get the brand out there. We sponsor a lot of events. We sponsor some of you all's events, other title companies events. I've done mailers. Social media is huge.
Social media, we do tons
of social media content. Really anything just to get the brand and the market out. Newsletters. Email marketing.
We were going to talk about your newsletter because we often get asked about, I want to do a newsletter, I want to do this. And we were saying this at a different conversation that people overthink what a newsletter is and what it can be.
Yeah.
So this morning, before I met with you for lunch, I opened your newsletter because it came in my inbox. Actually, it wasn't to me, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I opened it, and it was you talking about how you've been sober. You haven't had a drink in almost a year.
Yeah.
And not like you had a problem, but you just decided to do it because you wanted a mental clarity. Your girlfriend asked you to do it.
Yep.
Right? And kind of said, well, I want to try to see how this goes for me. And his newsletter was literally just, what, three paragraphs about that?
Yeah. Vulnerability is huge.
Yeah. Vulnerability is great. Huge. Especially
by the story, maybe, right?
Yeah. Story, when you're trying to connect with people, vulnerability. But story is the biggest thing. So, like, whenever I'm creating something, especially on the newsletters, I'm looking to tell some type of story, right? Because that's what people connect with. You know, this story is like, you know, who am I? Who is the company? Like, what's going on? It could be anything. So, like I was saying about the newsletter, or you were saying about the newsletter, is I was talking about, you know, the decision that we made last year to be sober, to stay away from drinking, and how it felt. And that would resonate with someone. You know, it resonated with...
With me.
Did you say you were trying to do it?
I did it for January. I did it for a whole month.
Yeah, you did it for a month.
Try January?
I did. I made it.
Congratulations.
It was hard. And like, that's why I was like, you know, I'm not a big drinker, but I do like to drink. In our industry, we're out socializing a lot. And oftentimes there are drinks involved. And saying no to, you know, my favorite thing, margarita, is hard when you're so used to saying yes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, for you to do that for a year...
Yeah.
I mean, but you said you noticed so much, like, get up and go-ness.
I mean, yeah, you just go. Like, you're good. Like, you know, last night I could go out. I could go to Penthouse, you know, have some fun and have a couple of drinks.
Right.
And then I wake up and I feel bad.
Right.
You know, and guess what? Now I come in, you know, I come here, I'm groggy, you know, or, you know, I'm late. You know, I forget the ring light at the house, you know, because... I had some drinks, as opposed to, you know, I'm not doing this now. It doesn't care. Like, every day you're on. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I felt that within the first week of not having anything. And we made it the decision to just cut back, you know, altogether. So I was like, unless I'm at an event, right. Which is a lot. or like, and I said, my favorite thing is a margarita. Or if I'm somewhere where there's like a really good margarita and I just have to try it. I don't even need the like drink, but I just love it. So he put that in his newsletter, right? And you send that out, you said bi-weekly?
Yeah, I do a bi-weekly newsletter. I was doing a weekly, slowed that cadence down to just more of a bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Didn't want to inundate people too much.
Right.
I would love to see a Calvin week and a Carl week and a Calvin week and a Carl week. I've been
telling Carl to do his newsletters.
Yeah.
He's coming along.
Working on the vulnerability part of it.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is tough.
Letting people in and seeing that. Yeah.
As you don't want to be, or you feel like you're going to be embarrassed, I guess. You know, I guess that's what I get, this notion that I'm going to be embarrassed myself.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I still got to work. We're working through
it. You'll get there. The reality is, man, once you let go and you let people in, people start finding relatability, and then the business starts to grow even more because they're like, okay, these are real people. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the same, you know, same things going on that we all have going on. And I use the vulnerability a lot with our agents, too, because a lot of them are so afraid. It's so crazy because Giselle, my coach, she sent out a vulnerability-type email newsletter this week, too, that I was reading through this morning. And, you know, hers was talking about those moments. If you're a parent, if you're this, I understand if you don't want to share those moments with your children, but, like, those moments are what people are looking to connect with. You know, if you're a mother and you're an agent, you know, and other mothers are going to lean on you and be like, all right, she knows what I'm looking for in a home because she also has three kids and four kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's different levels of relatability, but if no one knows, you'll never connect. There was a lender that I've known for quite some time that I recently met with, who, you know, we've had conversations, but as soon as we connected the dots, I'm like, oh, I used to race motorcycles. I used to build off-road trucks, and I love cars and this and that. Once we had that relatability moment, the dynamic shifted immediately. Like, okay, we have more in common than I ever knew, but, like, not getting those things out there, people never have the ability to connect with it. And so many people are so afraid to keep it all, like, in, because I don't want them to know that I drank. I don't want them to know that I have, you know, I have my car and I do edibles. I don't want them to know that I got this or that. It's like,
yeah, I mean,
those are your people. Like, they're going to relate to you and be like, all right, cool. So we're almost the same. And a lot of it, too, they look at the success level. And they're like, damn, okay, so they've had all those issues, too, and they still became successful?
Yeah.
It's motivating for some. You know, they'll look at it and go, damn, you know, I didn't think I could get out of this, you know?
It helped also, like, if you're on that level of vulnerability to the point where you would be like, yo, I got some edibles in my will, like,
right?
I mean, honestly, you know, whoever does business with you, they love you.
Right.
You know, like, that gets rid of all the, you know, because it's like, you know, a lot of times you'll have this, you may be like a cloudy relationship with someone, you don't really know if they rock with you or not, like, you kind of got to cover yourself up to do business with them,
right?
You know, but if you can be that level of getting my story out and being that open, then whoever is doing, you know, business with you, you know, they love you.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, someone who's really good at that, you either hate them or you love them, but who's really good at that? Donald Trump.
Right.
His supporters are die hard.
Nice.
And hate or love Trump, no one can say he's honest.
As far as
he puts himself out there.
For sure. Yep.
Like, you know what you're going to get with Trump. He's going to say some crazy stuff.
Yeah, listen,
you know, like...
That is so funny you say that, because the one that threw me was you know, that whole Black Hawk situation that ran into the plane.
Yeah.
And then reporters are asking him these dumbass questions. And his response was, what do you want me to do? Go hover over the water where it cries? Like, what do you want me to go?
You want me to go swimming?
He's like, I'm going to go see the families. I'm going to go talk to them. He's like, but no, I'm not visiting the crash site. It's a body of water that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And listening to that,
that's
about as real as it can get.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, some people may be sensitive to that, and they might not vibe with Trump, but the only way he can figure that out is by saying that.
Correct.
Because when you cover yourself up, like, the people who vibe with him, he says it, and now you know, like, they still support him.
Right.
Now you know these people truly support you.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Facts.
So with you guys, just becoming more vulnerable in your space and like getting your stories out there, like, you guys have built a brand that I feel like, I didn't know this was Calvin's brand. I thought he was a franchisee of like another national brand. And I was like, what? You built this from the ground up? So like, I feel like you tell your story a lot on stages to other notaries. You do some like keynote speakings and things like that. But like, for your social media, do you guys put any of that backstory into your content, like to talk about where you came from and where you are now, to get that relatability piece?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I want him to do more of that, like, tell his story, how he got here, you know. But we definitely do that, you know, because I think it's important to just tell the story. Like, you know, we have competitors, but like I said, they have no face, they have no story, they have nothing other than that, you know, they can provide.
There's nothing
notaries
to latch on
like,
to.
Like,
say you want to be
awesome. For realtors, like, you throw a rock, you'll hit a realtor. Throw a rock, you'll hit a realtor. But, like,
please don't throw rocks at our realtors.
At this point, we're going to have to. I'm going to throw rocks so they start telling their story.
Listen.
You have to tell your story so that someone could connect with you.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to buy a home right now, what separates you from the other realtor is your story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what separates you? Like, your story. Because everyone can write up the, hopefully. After doing the bare minimum, you know, and doing a little bit more than the bare minimum, what separates you is the story that you have.
Their story and your service.
Story and, your service, which is it all wraps together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I mean, you could have a great backstory and be a shitty service person.
You probably wouldn't even tell your story,
right?
You're right. Yeah,
you
don't
get to the point.
No one wants to hear it if you're a shitty service man. I don't even care where you came from. Doesn't matter. Go back. But you guys doing a great job. So, our audience that mostly listen to this podcast are people in real estate, mostly agents. There's lenders, there's, you know, admin, there's other people. We've never had a closing service person on before, so this is, you know, a new thing that we get to talk about. But we always like to relate. Running a business is running a business.
Yep.
And we're all inside of this beautiful industry of real estate, so it's correlating what you guys do and offering up a little bit of advice or nuggets to those who are looking to build something inside of this community, whether it's real estate itself, transaction coordination, closings, title. I mean, there's all kinds of businesses inside of this industry. So if we're in the collaborative mode where we're like, let's offer the advice to the masses, what would be your, we can start with three, or if you just want to give one like nugget of advice for someone who's like, I want to get into this. I want to be successful. Or maybe they're already in it and they just don't know what they're doing. They've plateaued or whatever.
I mean, one thing I could say is I believe in omnipresence. So, like, you know, when we market, you know, I try to be everywhere. So I think a lot of people, when they, especially when it comes to social media, they find a platform that they like, instead of finding a platform that your ideal customer is on. Mm. So it's like, oh, I like Facebook, so I'm going to only post on Facebook, as opposed to, okay, well, what if your customer likes Instagram? You're only posting on Facebook. So no. I want to be on all the platforms because I don't know what they like. Like, I got some clients that like TikTok. I got some that prefer LinkedIn. I got some that prefer Facebook. So I want to be omnipresent on all those platforms so that I'm not missing anything. So if I was a realtor, I would be across all of them. I wouldn't just go to Instagram because the social media coach is telling me to just go to Instagram. Right. I would go to every platform because I don't know what my consumer, where that consumer may be at. Because you could have someone who is a millennial. I'm a millennial, you know, but I guess millennials prefer Instagram and maybe TikTok. But if you got someone who's a little bit older, maybe they're on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, or if you have someone who's younger, they're on TikTok and
Snapchat.
You know, they're market not on house, Snapchat. So you just don't, you could. Why not? It's free.
I don't know how to use Snapchat, so I'd be left in the dust.
Right here.
I'm like, I don't get it. It disappears. How is that effective? I don't know. But, so.
You got anything for Carl?
The shady business.
A tip? Oh, I mean, just your mindset, man. I mean, and stay positive, man. And, just keep pushing forward.
I knew I liked him.
I'm a prime example of somebody like, and I'm sure everybody's experienced this. You know, you have ups and downs in life. But you gotta just keep pushing forward, man. And no matter what, as long as I show up every day, I feel like I'm winning. And so I would just give that as a jewel to anybody.
Yeah, so just show up, be positive, move the needle, whether it's a lot or a little.
Yeah.
Move the freaking needle.
Move the needle.
Yeah, for sure.
Can we call that? Can we have a podcast called Move the Needle?
But agents have to market. Yeah. Like, they have to market. I think agents don't want to market. They don't want to put themselves out there.
They don't know how. That's what we're doing. Hey.
That's how.
That was scary.
Everyone looked.
I was like,
you keep it simple. Marketing is attention.
We just blew out like four people's speakers.
I'm sorry if your ears are messed up, but that is what it is. It's very simple.
Shit, I got to get a warranty claim now on this car.
If I'm an agent, how can I get the customer to look at me instead of looking at the other agent? That is what they have to do.
Make sure this gets
too many down. Too many of what you like too many of the agents are sitting back behind a computer screen hoping that the leads come in and like that shit just magically appears.
It's not gonna
what you said. So it's like you gotta go out there. You gotta shake hands.
Yeah.
The whole that behind the scenes shit died years ago.
The president shakes hands. They go right. From city to city throwing city rallies city. When they want to get elected
in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showing up and showing out.
Yeah, not just social media, not just buying a camera. Right here. Mm-hmm. Handshakes are still powerful.
And that's what's going to set other agents apart from the others. Like you said, you throw a rock and hit a realtor, right? But mm-hmm. What's going to set you apart is you actually going out there and people falling in love with you as a human being.
Right.
They don't give a damn about the company yet. They're like, I like that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does that person do? Oh, he does this. Oh, sweet. Okay, I have a need for that.
Yeah.
And I like you, so I will use you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you don't get out there enough, people aren't going to do it. And then for those that don't have the ability to get out there, again, going back to what you said earlier, social. Social is a way to virtually shake a bunch of hands. You just got to put in the time. You know, it's not even a lot of money. You could do it on your own.
Well, I mean, it's free.
But it's free. Put in the time.
Yeah,
and so many people are like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't need to put myself out there. I don't need to. Okay, well, then comfortable where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Well, what's the thing? There's a saying that's like, the something comes from the uncomfortable moments. Like, you shine in those... It's those uncomfortable moments is what molds us into individuals, like, going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just happy and safe all the time, like, you're not really doing anything. Yeah. You're not making the moves.
I'd say realtors can definitely... See, the thing about being a realtor is you can provide someone with tons of value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are definitely helping someone with the biggest investment, biggest purchase that the average human being makes. Like, as a notary company, I can only say so much online. Like, I mean, stamp the document and provide a good service. Like, you know, no one's like looking up like how to be a great notary unless they want to be a notary.
Right.
But
right.
everyone needs a house to live in. You know, so it's like the agents that I see online, like all they're doing is like, you know, they're either making fun of their clients,
right.
you know, like, oh, I had this, you know, this client calls me all the time, like, you know, or like, talk about the market, you know, talk about the house, talk, give the story, like the marble, you know, and like the flooring and, you know, how tall are the roofs and, you know, if you have a tall husband, like he can fit into this house.
that is key. The perspective a realtor can spin on something as simple as a home is insane. And I use a personal interaction, really good friend of mine, Alina Zimbrin. You know, she came to look at some houses in our neighborhood, and you know, my husband loves to go look at houses. I don't know why. It's like, we already got one, we're good.
We got one. We don't need more than that.
Just like looking at houses.
If there's an open house, my man is going to the damn open house. So
some
there was one
that
was for sale. She was like, let's go look at it. His first thing that comes out of his mouth was, man, I love this driveway. This is awesome. You can fit so much stuff in this driveway. She immediately hit him with, no, you can't. Here's why. Because the way that the angle of the garage is, you're not going to be able to back your boat in. You can't back this in. It's a huge-ass driveway, but just the sheer shape of the driveway, the where it's positioned with the garage door, she was like, here's all the issues you're going to run into if you actually do want to use this garage to that extent. And he was like, oh, shit, I never really thought of that. We just saw the giant chunk of concrete. We're like, that's a big-ass driveway. Not functional whatsoever.
And was she trying to sell the house?
She's like, no, it's not. I thought it was going outside.
So that's super small. Like being an agent, like being a realtor, seeing shit like that every day. Your perspective is so different, but no one's given that perspective. Like you said, like, oh, your husband's tall, he can fit here. You know, for him, it's always, I want a 12-foot Christmas tree. Okay, well, you can put it here.
Yeah.
You know, like in this house, you can put that in this area. You know, you can do this. But the way she would say, and look, she would walk through and be like, look how this door, when you open this door, it hits this door, and now you can't get into the bathroom because this door is open. Like, it's the little things, but no one's taking the time.
I don't think she wants to sell the house.
Break that stuff.
I think she wants to buy it for herself.
Listen, it sold. Someone bought it. It was beautiful. You know, but like looking at that and knowing your client, like that is huge. But then you take those moments of you knowing your client, finding the perfect home, turn that into some social media content. All right, y'all, this is a beautiful house, but let me tell you five reasons why this wouldn't work if you're a fisher. Five reasons why it wouldn't work if you have a boat and some side-by-sides. You know, like, little things like that.
Oh, the negative hooks are huge right now.
I never thought about that. I'm just like, what a big-ass driveway. This is so great. You know, but then there was multiple incidents like that where we're looking at homes, and I think it's the most amazing thing since sliced bread. And then someone, a realtor, hits me with, yeah, but did you think about this? Or did you think about that? Like, oh, shit, I did not ever think about those things. That's me with vehicles. Like, I could tell you up and down reasons why you should or should not buy a certain car. I don't know that about houses whatsoever, you know? So, like, hearing that perspective is huge.
Yeah.
I think more people should take to social to explain those sides instead of the bashing of the shitty customers.
Yeah, bashing of the clients.
Oh, here's what happened yesterday.
Right.
And it's like, all right, cool. That could help someone if it's really valuable information, like, hey, my client bought a Mercedes-Benz the day before closing and now they can't close.
Yeesh.
That's a conversation you should probably get out there, right?
Yeah, that's a help.
But if it's just, like, a bunch of screenshots of shitty text messages you've gotten, like... That's not going to help anybody.
I think a lot of realtors do that, like, inside their own groups. I don't know that they put that on their customer-facing profiles.
Oh, they do.
Not screenshots, but I've seen videos of, like, having to drive a buyer around, you know.
Oh, and they're annoyed?
And they're annoyed at this or that.
After looking at the 10th home and they don't buy, you know, like a meme-type video.
I wonder why you don't have any business.
Oh, weird. So weird, right?
Oh, I can't put my finger on it. But using social to tell a story and to show your value, right, to show how knowledgeable you are about your topic that you're talking about. I mean, now I'm going to have to go back and stalk y'all's Instagram and see what y'all are putting on there. But, like, I'm sure you guys are talking about why the usage of mobile notaries. But do you talk about other things? Like, what do y'all talk about on your socials?
Well, we definitely promote the company, but we talk a lot about title stuff. So we'll have title companies. Like, I'll do an interview with a title company. They'll talk about title insurance, the documents, you know, different things with the transaction and stuff like that.
Okay, so just giving people, like, this is what this is in case you ever run across this.
Well, well, it's different for us because... We're B2B. We're business to business.
True.
It's like, as an agent, you're going directly to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much more for them to, like, like give out. Like for me and us on social media, we're trying to more so just like establish a footprint as a company and as a brand. Yeah. But like as a realtor, you can essentially like you can literally develop a lot of client relationships from social media.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick up your phone today, look at a video from a realtor. If she tells a story good enough, you may actually be interested in buying that house.
Right.
Yep.
No one's gonna pick up their phone and be like, no matter how good a story is, I need a notary. Like you either need the notary or you don't need a notary. Like, you know? So it's
so just brand building.
Let me find the reasons to be notary. Ours is brand building. But for see the agent has a better opportunity than we do on social media
100%.
Because we're so niche.
Yeah.
Their audience is so wide. It's a human being that's breathing. We all need homes,
right?
You know, I mean, obviously you want them to be qualified and everything, but and
then, are you a robot?
Right. Right. I mean, we're going to robots to need homes too. Shoot. Right. We have a Tesla robot. They're staying in South Tampa. Go knock on the door and go answer. Who sold you this house? KJ did.
I'm the robot realtor. That's me.
Oh, that's cool. Robot realtor. I like that.
But the opportunity that they have, I feel like on social media is very big. They just have to frame it the right way.
Yeah, and it's hard because the vulnerability piece. Mm-hmm. Going back to, I don't want to look stupid. On social media, I don't want to tell my story because what if someone thinks it's bad or they don't like me because of it?
Yeah.
Melvin has a great story for that because for the longest time, he didn't want to put out publicly that, you know, he's married to a man.
Can I give a good example of leveraging social media for someone in real estate?
Yeah.
Tampa tomorrow.
I was just talking about them yesterday.
Tampa tomorrow. And he didn't, the way, you guys know it's a guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he super value. I mean, super, so much value. Like any new development, anything that was happening in Tampa, everyone knew to go check that page.
You're right.
Now that you can't really do it because I don't know what's going on with the page, but it's not as good as it used to be. Tell me who, other than that page, who can you go to get information about up-to-date developments in Tampa?
If I want developments, I went to that page. I also went
now,
to That's So Tampa.
Man, there's a lot.
There's a couple now. They probably all copied them.
That's So Tampa and Tampa Tomorrow are my two go-tos. Whenever I want to, like, what do I want to do this weekend or what's going on in this area, I will do my research on those two Instagram pages. But like
actual value. He wasn't there bashing
nothing.
People or talking.
Actual value.
Yeah, I mean, like, even like the story piece, I mean, he was just dropping straight value. He's like, hey, man, like, this is what's happening here. This is why this is being knocked down. This is what they're putting here. He's showing the future images of what's going to be there.
Literally.
What it's going to bring the city, all of that stuff, you know, and that page took off. And guess what everyone was doing? All the realtors were sharing his posts instead of making their own post about the city. Like,
right.
Yep. So,
yeah, it's kind of like when realtors post the Zillow link and then people click on the Zillow link, open up Zillow, and then Zillow's paid partners are right there and they click on that realtor. Like, I'm like, create your own.
Yeah, you have to take the time, like, invest into it. Like, take the time to really research it and figure out what's going on. Because people need to know. I want to know what's going on in my community. I want to know what's being built. It affects my business. It affects your business. 100%. Like, it affects everyone's business. So, is Tampa booming or not? Do we know if people are investing in Tampa? That's what Tampa Tomorrow was providing us.
Right, right.
You know, so as an agent, like, you can do the exact same thing.
Yes.
Literally.
Literally.
Like, don't get me started.
I hope someone's
super uncomfortable truth. Like, I want to be real with the realtors. Like, someone needs to do this. I need a page I can go to and figure out what's going on in Tampa when it comes to real estate.
Yep.
I don't have that.
You can build it, and they will come.
Right, I'm going to build it, but I'm trying to give the realtors, you know, like, they need to do it. And what would be better if Tampa Tomorrow didn't have a face?
So there's still no face.
Yeah, there's still no face. So if someone did that and they were the face, then they would have that brand.
Now there's the other guy that does a similar thing. He's a realtor, but he goes around eating.
He's like, top five things to do this weekend in Tampa, and he does have a face. I don't know who that is.
That's good, though, because if I want something, there's times where I'm trying to think of something to do with my girl. I'm like, you know, come on, bro, come through for me. Come through for me. And my girl gonna be like, maybe you came up with this all by yourself?
Yes. Of course, man.
Sure. I know you. I know what you like.
Yeah. Oh, let me delete my searches.
Damn, she's like,
Top 5 things. We did all of those in the past 5 weeks.
You did everything in that book.
Hey, let's see, social media's working now. It's working. People do that. I gotta get off their ass and they gotta really commit to something. It gets so tiring to hear how much people want to do and they never do nothing about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've got so many realtor friends that are like big foodies, and I'm like, you know, if you have nothing else to do, do the foodie thing. Go around Tampa eating food and, you know, promote these local businesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. It'll only help you. Mm-hmm. We're doing a big push this year where we want to support small businesses as much as possible. And our open houses and our brokers opens, like, you know, if we can get local pastries and local food and help, that's what we're doing. You know, so we definitely have to probably do a better job of promoting local and doing those things ourselves. But God, there's so much power in just knowing and putting that stuff out there and just taking the time. That's what most people don't do. They don't want to take the time.
Yeah, that's really hard. Let's just be real. They don't want to take the time.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, that or they see someone else do it and they're just like, oh, someone else is already doing it. Great, do it better.
Yeah.
Right.
Do it better. Or there was a quote that I saw. It up, but it was essentially saying that everything that we see in existence is a copy of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is like, it's inspiration. It's not that I'm copying. If I see something that KJ is doing that I want to implement, it's because she inspired me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not if I do it exactly the same. Like if a realtor is like, yo, go to 123 property and you know it's worth this amount and this is the floor, and you say literally the exact same without anything, then okay, that's copy. But there's nothing wrong with being inspired.
I mean, how many Spider-Man movies do we have?
100.
100 Spider-Man movies, and yet Spider-Man gonna come to the box office. Everybody's gonna go see
the
new Spider-Man.
We make the multiverse of real estate. The same people in like multiple universes just
You can do it again. I mean, you can do it again.
They say that if no one's doing it, it's probably because it doesn't make any damn money. It's not a good idea.
That's a great one.
I didn't think about it like that. No, I like it. I think you guys have something really kind of special. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing that you could do. And then he heard it on a podcast and said, no, I'm going to do that. And 5 years from now, then you're here now, and you guys are, what did you say, 15,000?
1,500.
We're doing 1,500.
Might as well be 15,000. Free, that's a lot.
That'd be a big difference.
Well, yeah, y'all are doing really well. And I think just people need that little bit of encouragement to go, I want to go from where I'm at, you know, whatever, I'm miserable or my plan didn't work out that he wanted, whoever wanted to do, what am I going to do now? Right. And I think that happens to a lot of people, especially right now with all these layoffs. What are y'all going to do?
Yeah.
Well, figure it out, find something that interests you and take it from there. But consistency, creativity. And then there was another one that you just said, and getting uncomfortable, like get uncomfortable, be consistent and stay creative. Like those are the things that are going to push you into successhood.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of adulthood. That sucks. Motherhood, that's another crazy hood. You don't want to be in there. Get into successhood.
Motherhood is a crazy hood.
It's a crazy hood.
And you got to be willing to go above and beyond for your customer.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes, especially if it's an example like how you're talking, like someone who may have gotten laid off or even someone who's exploring a new career path and they're like, hey, I want to be a realtor. You can't get into it because you watch Selling People. You know, you're like, oh, I'm going to get a Benz, I'm just drive around. And, you know, no. Like,
but they do. They do that.
That's the wrong expectation.
It is. You
know? And this isn't 2020, 2021, 2022 anymore. Right now is you got to be good. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know how to operate a business. You got to know how to sell. You got to know how to market. You got to know how to operate. You got to be able to handle your finances. You got to be able to provide real value. You can't just put the sign in there and think 30 buyers are going to come off the dribble.
Yep. And a lot of that reliance too is social. I mean, we just heard a story about, you know, agents that are losing business for not having a social presence.
Oh, you know, yeah. She sells multi-million dollar homes. And
she says she's losing business because she doesn't have a social presence?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a new world. And the first thing I do if I'm going to do business with someone, I'm going to look them up.
Same.
I'm going to see how you get down.
And if their page, like I say this, I drill this, it's like I've been kicking a dead horse here. But if I go to your page and it's nothing but a bunch of stock images and canvas shit, and
oh, yeah. just sold yeah, get away from that.
I'm like, next.
You want an action item right now? Get away from stock images. Get away from the canvas pics.
I don't care if you have shitty videos, but give me some context. Give me something, right?
Give me some you. I want you.
The flip side of that is, don't give me so much of you that it's just non-contextual you dancing around in circles.
Yeah. It should all be context.
I can't. I'm not going to relate to 47 videos of you shimmying.
Right.
telling me to call you. Not, there, you can shimmy for a week and a half straight on live stream. I'm not going to call you.
Like, 24-hour live stream
me,
of shimmy.
Give me something of value. Like, whether it is the vulnerable story, whether it is the kids, the ship, the cruises, vacations you go on. Like, I need something to chew on to say, all right, cool. We're going to have a fun conversation together.
Yeah.
Spending time with this human being on the biggest purchase of my life isn't going to be like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm.
We have something we can relate with.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend of mine in real estate that she, you know, she's finally found her niche. She's freaking phenomenal. Roz.
Sorry, Roz. What's her Instagram? Does she have Instagram?
Real Estate Roz.
Oh, okay.
So her thing is, she, you know, she's German. She was born and raised in Germany. She's fluent in German, and she decided to, you know, join England Bulkers because they're primarily European German company, and all just by default, just going where she fits in, going where it makes sense. She's pulling multi-million-dollar listings now,
mm-hmm.
out of nowhere, just being herself and being out there and utilizing it. Go Bethke, a good friend of ours too. She says it all the time, like, I don't care if I have an accent. I don't care if I'm from another country. I don't care if I sound different than you guys. That's why people relate to me. Because I do sound different. Because I sound like them. You know, they're going to look and see and be, oh, okay, wow. So she does have an accent. Wow, so she's not perfect. She even shared at Mega Marketing, the big event we did. You know, she shared one of her most vulnerable posts was, she had a missing tooth.
she's
like, you know, I spent like $30,000 on these teeth. She's like, I'm European. We don't have good teeth. Very real. She's about the most real person I've ever
met. Own it.
She's like, listen, it is what it is. She goes, I could have hid behind the camera, put on a bunch of filters, and pretended I had a tooth for a month while I was waiting for, you know, she had to wait for some things to happen before they could fix it.
Right.
And she was like, or this is me. So she just started posting without a tooth. And it is what it is. And she's like, this is me. Give it, take it or leave it. If you don't want to do business with me because this is me, then I don't really want you.
Right.
So it's just, you gotta really rip off the damn band-aid and get out there and do the damn thing.
Because
most people are just so afraid of this, they're afraid of that, they're afraid of what someone else is gonna think or say.
And if you never rip off the band-aid and just do it, you're gonna forever live with this what if.
What if?
Like, it's always gonna be, well, what if I did actually go all the way in? What if I did commit to using social media? What if I did start making my calls? Like, you're gonna always have that. But I would rather do it all, and then it doesn't happen, and I just knew it didn't happen. Like, at least I live with the what if.
I did everything. Right, and I think you guys, and this is something that realtors really need to take to heart as well, is that you're not just marketing to email. You're not just sending out newsletters. You're not just going to events. Because some people, they're like, well, I go to networking events. Okay, cool. Are you mailing to people? Do you have a newsletter? Do you have a... It's the all of it that you're doing. It's making sure that you have that omnipresence, that you've got a foot in everything so that you're always in front of the... in front of your audience. We tell agents all the time, you need to be that Bed Bath & Beyond coupon that sits in your drawer that you don't ever need and you're thinking about throwing away all the time. But when you're going to Bed Bath & Beyond, you're looking for that thing or you're calling your neighbor, hey, you have that 20% off? I need a new vacuum cleaner. You know, like, you need to be that coupon.
Subway coupons.
That's always there.
Unless I get a BOGO.
Because they're going to be like, when we need a notary, let's say we didn't use you and we do, but let's say we didn't and we needed a notary, but your emails are always coming through or your newsletters are always, and we always see you on social and at every event we're ever at. Oh, we need a new notary company. Like, there's literally no other thoughts but to think of you.
Is massive.
There was a customer we just landed, a title company, last week, and it goes to what you're saying about, because you don't know how you're going to get them in there. You know, you throw out a whole bunch of reels and you don't know which one they're going to bite on. It could be the phone call. It could be the newsletter. It could be the social media post. It could be the drop-in. You don't know which one it is. But last week I was in Fort Myers for an event, and I stayed the night, so I decided to drop in a couple offices while I was down there.
Smart.
So I dropped in one office, you know, went well, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, we'll start sending you some business. And we market so much now that I don't know all the title companies that we have and have not marketed to. So I go back and look at my CRM. We've been sending this person emails, weekly emails, for 2 years.
Oh.
And after I dropped in, she sent an email the next day. Hey, go ahead and create me a username and password. I want to start using
the dots are connected like
yeah.
that.
That's what you just don't know how they're going to come in, though. Because, you know, I've had situations like that where sometimes it's a phone call or sometimes it's the newsletter. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, man, I called these people like 2 or 3 times, you know, a couple months ago or whatever. Like, you just don't know. So it's mm-hmm. like, you can't, like, to what you're saying, like, you can't just do one avenue.
Correct.
Like, people will be like, oh, Melvin, I am doing social media. Well, are you making your calls? Are you doing any emails?
Yeah,
are you going to networking events? I've just been doing social media.
And then they get to it's just overwhelming to do so much. It's more overwhelming to do nothing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's business. Don't tell me it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You just gotta go.
Get out.
What's the name Gogo says? She's like, who is uncomfortable in front of the camera, right? Okay. She asks the crowd, who's uncomfortable being in front of a camera? And everybody, you know, raise their hands or whatever. And she goes, how uncomfortable are you when you're broke?
She's like, it's more uncomfortable.
Way more.
Way more. Way more.
Way more.
I'm worried about people's opinions when I can deposit them in my bank account.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she sounds like she's out of my
truck. And she has been broke.
You know what I mean? Like, and she did. She came here with no money.
She came here with like $100 without speaking English. Mm-hmm.
See, that's why she's a hustler.
Yep. She's amazing.
We're
all like, everybody's...
When you're born in the U.S., you're entitled and you're, you know...
It's crazy. You've got to grind. You got to go out there. You got to do the thing. You have to test... My opinion is you have to test things and see what works for you, right?
Yeah.
It's not a world... Social media may not be for everyone. I understand that, right? But if you're not doing anything else, then what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
You know, like, okay, social media ain't for you, great, but you're also not shaking hands. You're also not going to events. Right. You're also not doing mailers. Right. You're also not, what are you doing?
They're waiting for their broker to give them leads.
And you know what?
Or Zillow lead.
That's true.
You know, Zillow leads, they get hit for like 50% of the
it's
commission.
It's insane.
They get 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of the people, especially like, you know, I see a huge, you guys might be able to relate too. A lot of I like to call them our seasoned agents. You know, they've been in the industry forever. Can't
like
tell
garlic?
Them anything. Can't tell them anything. They know exactly. And, you know, I had the issue one time. I'm still a licensed lender. At my lending company, we had a person there that was like that. And the conversation I had with him was like, well, I don't have to market because I have such a big customer base. I'm like, okay. You know, and me just being me, because sometimes I don't have, most times I don't have a filter like this, you know. You know, I'm like, well beep, beep. Bro, like, you're 68 years old. No offense, most of your people are reverse mortgaging and retiring.
Right.
Your customer base is gone. They're not buying more homes. They're not at the age where they're buying more houses,
right.
bro.
Right.
So if you want to continue to make money, you got to adapt. And you got to overcome that whole mental mindset of, like, I have a huge customer base. They're all your age. Like, that's not going to do shit for you. But most people, they just get stuck in their ways. And it's like, try something new. If it works, great. If it doesn't, try something else. Just keep going.
That's
just keep swimming.
His excuse to be okay with being lazy. Yeah. I mean, people want a reason to be okay with being lazy.
Very good at what he does. Was not. I wouldn't dub him as lazy whatsoever. Just very stuck in ways. And I'm like, dude, just get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it's a new age now. And you got to be able to adjust and adapt. And things are moving fast and they're moving quickly. You got ChatGPT. You got all these different things. AI. Yeah. So it's, you know, you got to be able to adapt.
Oh, I was going to mention that because
the human's still the driving factor with this whole AI world.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter how much AI definitely assists us a hell of a lot, but, you know, you put me in front of you or you put me in front of ChatGPT, like, I'm going to relate to you more than I'm related to that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't think that. They're just like, oh, everybody's going to be taken over by AI. No, it's just going to assist heavily.
Yeah.
But there's still people. There's still Carls and there's still Calvins behind the transaction making sure that people are good. So,
and people use ChatGPT for like captions on Instagram or, you know, whatever. We've gotten into using it a lot more than that. But what my son did the other day, and I thought we should have used this for people in business. But what he did was he uploaded all of his notes for his biology class. He uploaded all of his notes. It was like a guided worksheet, kind of a note thing. He put the upload into ChatGPT and said, create a quiz for me to take so that I know this knowledge to actually take the test at school. So it did. It spit out all these questions. Right. So
that's
smart.
Good.
I didn't tell him to do that either. He just came up with that. That sounds big brain. So then he, I said, what if we did that with realtors where it's like you're stuck and you don't know what to do? Okay. So tell ChatGPT, this is where I'm at in my business. Here's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
Take the information from what other people are doing and give me a business plan for the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll spit out day 1 through 30. Oh, yeah. Here's what you need to do. And if you don't know anything else to do, do that.
You have to be open to doing it. Most people read it and go, I would never do that. You've never tried it. You know, it's like you read, and I'm guilty. I mean, I've done it before too, where I've asked it for help. And I'm like, I read it. I'm like, I would never fucking do that. Why? But then I'm thinking, I'm like, well, I've never even done it, so why not? What's it gonna hurt to do it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I know you gotta do something.
If you do.
Whether it's an AI plan, your plan, a coach's plan, your boss's plan.
You gotta do something.
Yeah, you do.
So you gotta do something. Listen, I'm excited. I'm excited to work with y'all more for sure too.
Let's go.
We got this whole closing experience we're building out, so you know it's gonna be. It's going to be a
heard about it.
I told Kevin about it. He's
their
excited.
Closing experience. You guys want to drop a little quick sneak for them?
I don't want to say until we have it ready to go.
Too much.
But
it's going to be nice, and having a notary team behind us that, you know, that's on board and stuff is huge.
Closing experience powered by Comfortable Closings.
KJ is working.
I know. I'm always coming up with them one-liners. I'm good at them one-liners. So if someone's needing a notary, how can they get a hold of you? You got Instagram for Comfortable Closings, but you each have your own Instagram too, or how's that work?
Well, yeah, I got a personal page, Calvin J. Darville, and then we got the company page, Comfortable Closings.
Yeah, my personal page is I Know Carl.
I was like, I do know Carl.
Isn't there some
I'll make sure I link them all in the show notes.
Sorry, I_no_Carl.
True. Yeah. I_no_Carl. No underscore.
No underscore.
And then you guys are on Facebook?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Comfortable Closings, and then first and last name for me.
Okay.
Yeah, Carl Clark on Facebook as well.
Okay. Sweet. And then website?
ComfortableClosings.com.
I mean, we're going to say it 100 times.
Yeah, comfortable Closings. You don't got it by now, then. I don't know what
That's funny.
All right.
Good stuff.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We love working with you guys, and we know that we have other title companies in the audience that listen to us because we do share and collaborate. So if they're looking for a great person to partner with for closings, this is definitely our recommendation. And then just other companies. I know you said you work with other companies besides title companies that need a regular type service. Absolutely. Yeah. So comfortableclosings.com. You can find them on socials. We'll link everything in the show notes.
Everything.
And then you can find Melvin and I also on our show notes. We've got milestonemelvin.com, or you can go to workingwithworkman.com and you can find right?
I like those.
We like those alliterations.
Sweet. Listen, I'll end it with this. I found the quote that I was looking for. Comfort is the enemy of progress.
There you go. Hey.
That's the one I was looking for. And that was, oddly enough, P.T. Barnum, like Barnum and Bailey.
Barnum and Bailey.
Oh.
Yep. Comfort is the enemy of progress.
I want them uncomfortable.
Don't get comfortable, man. You got to stay uncomfortable to make money in this business. Stay uncomfortable.
That's right. You should all be comfortable when you're closing.
Yeah, that's the only time you can be comfortable is at the closing.
That's it.
I told Calvin he needs a t-shirt that says stay uncomfortable because he says
I was just going to say that. That's creepy.
Of course it is.
Literally just going to say that.
You got to put yourself out there. You got to market. No one wants to market. One wants to market.
Yeah. Punch him in the face, Calvin. Tell him.
Everything's being marketed. So get out there and market.
Do it.
Calvin's mad at you if you don't market.
He's mad. Big mad if you don't market.
Big mad.
Get out there and market, y'all.
All right. Brew good, do good. We'll see you on the next episode.
See
you. That's the last call for this round of Rebrew with Melvin and KJ and Milestone 2. From Tampa's breweries to deals done right, we'll catch you next time. Cheers and good night.